That's all right. You'll be singing again tonight. As Eddie was singing, I was thinking about how it is to be a pastor that stays in a church. I remember when that man that you just heard sing, I remember when he was just a little boy, and I watched him grow up, and now he's serving God in a church that I saw him grow up in. Amen. Amen. He loves the Lord. I think the Lord's put his hand on him. I believe that with all my heart. I believe we've got the greatest youth pastor in all America sitting right there in his wife. Matter of fact, I wouldn't trade none of my men for anybody. I think Brother Dave and Brother Robert, I wouldn't trade him for nobody. You got such great men in this church and great people and great deacons. By the way, we have 3 kids from college home this week. Steffi, right there, Steffi Anderson, and Jordan and Danny from Miami of Ohio. Where are they? Where are the kids? Our college boys. Stand up, boys. Dan and Jordan. The brainstorms. Amen. There's about an IQ there, about 300 together back there. And those kids are smart, and Chris, Steffi, Precious, going to Bible college, and we love our kids, amen? Amen? I hate to see them leave. Someday, if we get so big, I can have all kinds of schools here. I want to let any of them leave me. But until that happens, I've got room on that 30 acres to build, amen? And so we'll take it one step at a time. We're glad you're here, each one of you. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 7. Tommy was saying he heard this preacher preach today about he got trying to save Christmas. I said, Tommy, I've been preaching a whole month about keeping Christmas alive. Amen? And I had a great time in Sunday school this morning. Wow! I about blew my voice out. And we are having a great time in Sunday school. We're still on lesson 3, but we're going to finish it because we're at the end of page 2. And it's not a 6-week campaign no more. I really don't know how long it's going to take. Might be a 12-weeker. But we're keeping points, and whoever wins, eventually someone's going to win that Bible and that concordance and that dictionary. And make sure you turn those yellow slips in. And but I'm teaching them how to deal with sorrow and heartaches, and we're going to finish it off next week. And so, come, and then we'll get into how to have a happy home. So that'll be the next lesson. So we'll probably finish about how to deal with the sorrow, and then go into the home probably in the latter part. So let me encourage you to come every Sunday at 9:30. Man, we had a great crowd today in Sunday school. That was a great crowd in Sunday school today. And so let me encourage you to come. Let me teach you the Bible. I don't know it all, but I know a little. And what I do know, I want to teach you. Amen? And so you come. And it's not boring. I have a lot of fun. We laugh. We cry. We get excited. Preacher shakes you up once in a while, yells, and gets you wake up. And we don't serve donuts, but we serve the bread of life. Amen? Amen. And but if you sneak over early, you probably get those over in the bus. Okay. Bus workers, lest I would forget, make sure before you take the kids, grab some of those things that Rosie made, the bread, pumpkin bread. I want all the kids. We made enough for all the kids, I think, all the adults and all the kids. She made around 300. Does anyone have the attendance today? Okay. We're just going to make it. Okay. 228 in Sunday school? Good, Jack. Amen. All righty. That's a great attendance for us. Amen. Luke chapter 2. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 2. Glad you're here. We are going to have a dynamic service tonight, I'm telling you. I can't express to you how Now, if you don't like excitement, you don't like great music and saying amen, and I think we've got one of the greatest trios in all America. I mean that. And we're going to be having a great night tonight. And if you can come, don't be afraid to bring a visitor. They'll love the service, I'm telling you. And then I'm going to just give a short challenge at the end to try to get them to take Christ as their Savior. So, all righty. Notice chapter 2 of Luke, verse 7. And we'll go right to verse 11. And she brought forth, talking about Mary, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes. By the way, I want to say this to you. Mary, not only was she a virgin, she was conceived of the Holy Ghost. That's how Jesus was born. Jesus' father was God. He had God's blood in him. That's why they called his name Emmanuel, God with us. But Joseph never touched Mary. Even though they were married, he never had sex with Mary until after Jesus was born. Scripture says, he knew her not until the child was born. Jesus was pure. Don't believe all the venom and the lies that people try to denounce the Savior, the Son of God. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Hasn't changed. America don't have room for Jesus today. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. It can be to all people. You! It goes out to you! All people, you're in that all. None excluded. No matter race, creed, or no matter, it's all people. Amen. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in God's sight. Amen. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Then he tells you who the Savior is, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. It's not Muhammad, it's not Buddha, it's not Allah, it's Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the Savior of the world. And notice in verse 11, it says, "In this, for unto you..." Verse 11, for unto who? You. He was born for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great day that we're celebrating, the birth of Jesus Christ. Lord, had he not come, the whole world would be in dismal condition today. Probably would have been destroyed already by now, because there'd be nothing to hold back. So Lord, we thank you for just loving us and for coming and dying for us and raising, coming again. Lord, I pray today I can be a blessing to these folks. Thank you for the great Christmas story and the truth behind it. Please bless us, and Lord, help me to do well for you this morning, that I can be a blessing to the people. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I noted verse 11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The question comes, who was Christ born for? You. Say this with me. Jesus was born for me. Our yuns, y'all, amen? He was born for you. He was. He was personally born for me. He was personally born for you. Get it on a personal basis. Get it on a one-on-one. Brother Bobby, if I would have been the only person that ever lived, he still would have came. That's why he came personally for you. Listen, millions all over the world today, tonight, there's going to be a lot of celebrations tonight. Tomorrow, they'll be celebrating a holiday called Christmas. Yet they are ignorant of the fact that Jesus was born for them personally. They got the holiday of Christmas, but most of the world don't have the Christ of Christmas. Think with me now. I'm trying to relate to you. They will eat, drink, enjoy, sing, be merry, give gifts, receive gifts. But the day will pass tomorrow and tonight. December 26th will soon be here, and they'll still be lost. The world will still be without a Savior, still be in their sin, still be on their way to hell, and because they're ignorant to the fact that Christ was born for them to be their personal Savior. Christmas is more than just a holiday. It's a holy day. It's not a holiday. The world made it out, but it should be a holy day. Everyone should fall on their knees like they did back when Christ was born. The shepherds and the wise, and not the wise men, they came months later, a year later. But those that came at the sight of Bethlehem and saw this Christ, they fell on their knees because they worshiped the Savior. Oh, if the world could just see it. In Luke 2:7, back in the day of Jesus when he was born, there was no room for him in the inn. Get this. The world was ignorant of... Do you ever think about this? The world was ignorant to the fact who was being born that night in Bethlehem. Think about it. When he was born in Bethlehem, let's go back 2,000 years, approximately. When he was born, there was people all around Bethlehem. Not many people knew that he was being born. They were ignorant to the fact that he was being born. They were ignorant to the fact that he was being born for them. Listen, Jesus should have been born in a palace. People should have come from all places to see the Savior who was being born for them personally. Yet people in Bethlehem were going about their everyday business. Think with me about this. Passing by, no doubt. Can you imagine the streets busy like they are today? Well, I know they weren't having a Christmas service then, but they were busy getting ready to pay their taxes and stuff, amen? Just like you are getting ready to make your forms out. Hello? And people were busy. The Son of God, he's in that manger. No, can you imagine? People walked by that manger. And yet they didn't even know that the Son of God was literally there for them. They were ignorant to the fact that the Son of God was even there for them. Can anyone say amen or oh me? Amen. Notice, and even some who knew he was there still walked away in total ignorance. I can see him now. Because they didn't know why. Oh, yeah, did you hear about that couple from out of town, Mary and Joseph? She was with child. She wasn't pregnant, by the way. She's with child. Amen. They want the abortionists love you to say they're pregnant because then you can abort a pregnancy. But when you say I'm with child, which you really are, because that's a real child inside you, you can't. When you abort a child, you're killing a baby. By the way, that's what abortion is. It's killing babies. What's that got to do with Christmas? Nothing, but I'm just going to give it to you. It's free. Amen. I'm glad they didn't abort Jesus. That'll preach. But notice, think about this. They were right by him, Brother Brian. They might have been within feet of the Son of God. Brother Carey, the Son of God literally came from heaven for them, and they didn't even realize it. So busy, so caught up with the ways of the world that they didn't even realize the Son of God was there for them. Do you know that's a whole picture of most of the world today? They didn't understand that Mary, I love, boy, Eddie, no one sings that song like you. Woo. They didn't really understand that Mary did have a little lamb. Because John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, 1:29 of John, that taketh away the sins of the world. He was God's sacrificial lamb come down from heaven to die for your sins and mine. Notice, most people, even if they believed that Jesus was born, they believe he was a good person. A religious person, or maybe they might, I think he was a prophet. Can I tell you something? He's way far more than that. He's Savior. He's Son of God. He's redeemer of mankind. He's a sacrifice for our sins. He's propitiation. He's what he did on the cross. Propitiation means he's satisfied an outraged holy God over our sin by suffering and dying and taking our place on the cross. Can anyone say amen? So number one, real quickly now, they were ignorant of who was born for them, the Son of God. Number two, they were ignorant why he was born. The title of my message today is, by the way, is the ignorance of the world. I got working on that word study on that word ignorance. By the way, there's over 14 of them, but I'm only doing about 6 of them today, okay? Hold on. The extra is 14 or more. You ought to do a word study sometime on that word ignorance or ignorant. I'm going to give you the truth about this morning, a portion of it. Number one, they were ignorant who was born for them. That's Jesus, the Son of God. Number two, they were ignorant why he was born. He was born to be their personal Savior. By the way, you're here today. Every one of you here, the reason Christ was born, he was born to be your personal Savior. Joe, I'm so glad he's my personal Savior. But 1969, I finally got down on my knees and I said, Lord, come out and save my soul. He became my personal Savior. See, he's more than a swear word. I know a lot of people use his name in vain, but he's more than a swear word. And he's more than just know him. You gotta receive him. You gotta invite him into your heart and life. You gotta believe on him, the Bible says, by faith. Listen, until people realize that Jesus was born for them, and they personally receive him into their heart as their personal Savior, his birth really is none effect for them. Think with me. Because they live and die without being saved, so they die lost. Right? And we know all people who die without Christ as their Savior in a lost condition, they perish and go to everlasting hell, fire, punishment, wailing, gnashing of teeth. We know the scripture teaches that. Well, I don't believe that there's a hell. Doesn't matter. No, there's no unbelievers in hell. The Jehovah's Witness will tell you there's no hell, but why when they die and go there, they'll tell you there is a hell. There's no unbelievers in hell, trust me. Jesus preached more in hell than he did heaven. And Brother Kerry, if there wasn't no hell, he sure did a whole lot of things to stop us from going there. So even though Christ was born to save them from hell, they were ignorant of his birth for their personal Savior, and they did not receive him as their Savior. So his birth for them was though it never came, because it was null and void. Listen, if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, his birth for you is null and void. He came to be. If you don't take him, then really, even though he was born, his birth really is null and void because you didn't appropriate what he did for you. And that's the sad part is, Brother Bobby, most of the world's like that. Now notice, their ignorance of the importance of Jesus Christ's birth for them personally makes it null and void for their life. People are blind to the truth of Christ. People really are. People are willfully ignorant to the truth about Christ. They don't want to know facts about that Christ came for them, born for them and died for them, rose again. People don't even want, I don't want to hear it, preacher. Listen, because men, the Bible says in John 3:19, why would they do that, preacher? Because men love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds are evil. That's why men turn from Christ, because their deeds are evil. They love darkness rather than light. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because that thou hast rejected knowledge. Look up here, I'm going to tell you something. People don't have to be ignorant about Christ. God's given us the Word of God. God's given us the Holy Spirit. God's given us a spirit, the conscience to tell. There's two preachers that God gives every person. It's a God conscience that God is when you're born. It's a little dome light I teach in Romans. And the creation. And those two speak for God. And if you'll entertain that, God will give you more light to Christ. That's why the Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yep. Yes, amen. Jesus said in John 1, He said, I'm the light of the world. And he lights the world, and men walk in darkness. The reason people walk in darkness, they reject the light. Notice, as we go on with this, you don't have to have a PhD to know Christ as your Savior. Christ reaches down to all mankind, no matter who they are. Look at Acts chapter 4. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Acts 4, 13. Acts 4:13. Well, look at verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no name given under heaven among whereby men must be saved. You got to know Christ as your Savior, or you won't be saved. Now watch. Now verse 13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they were fishermen, remember? And perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They were ignorant men. They didn't have a PhD. They marveled. The people marveled. Then they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I'm going to tell you, Brother Joe, God reaches out to all mankind. There's no excuse for mankind to reject Christ, because he gets down and he reaches out to all people where they can understand. People, when they reject Christ, they willfully reject Christ. And that's what I'm trying to show you. No matter, you say, well, it's over our head. No, it's down on the bottom table. It's for all people to take. Just a lot of people shove it away. And by shoving it away, they shove the life of Christ away, and they lose their gift of eternal life. Now notice, the truth of Christ is this. God reaches down to all people of all kinds, of all people who will look to him. I noted this quote, Hebrews 11:6. God rewards those who seek him. The Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. And he that cometh them must believe that he is. And is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The reason the people are atheists today, they put that light out that God is. They darken that light. They say, no, we teach in Romans, they suppress that truth. And the Bible says that's manifested in them. And you gotta work hard to be an atheist. Because God gives you all these things, and you gotta work hard to say, no, there is no God, there is no God. You gotta work harder saying there is no God, and then just say, man, God, show me more about you. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. By the way, but yet no one has room for him. But to be seeking him first, when he's always the last. Notice, so as we continue here now, number one, the world is ignorant about the birth of Christ. The world is ignorant about the purpose of Christ's birth. Number three, the world is ignorant of their need for Christ's righteousness. Look at Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and look at verse 2 and 3. For I bear them record that they have the zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant, I'm in Romans 10:3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Brother Brian, the average person are ignorant that they need the righteousness of God. They think they're going to work their own way to heaven. I'll make it. By my own, Tommy, they think they can merit to do something to get them to heaven. Well, I'm hoping I get to heaven, or I'm working at it. No, you're not going to work at it. You're not going to hope at it. The scripture teaches that you must have the righteous, imputed righteousness of Christ to be saved. The scripture teaches that people try to get justified by good works, but Galatians 2:16 says, but by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are we saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, the scripture over and over. Isaiah 64:6. But we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteous as filthy rags. You're not going to stand before God and say, here, I'm righteous. Here's what he can say, they're filthy. Matter of fact, and then he goes on, and all do fade as a leaf. I thought about doing this last night. I failed to bring it in with this morning, bringing everything else. I was going to, you ever notice a leaf when it first comes out in the spring? It's green, then it becomes a real pretty, and then all of a sudden it's, now you see them, they're brown, they're crumbly, and they fade away. That's what your life is. Your life is crumbling. Unless you've got God to give you eternal life, you're going to crumble away and be destroyed. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
Notice the people are ignorant that, Brian, people are ignorant that they don't, what do I need God for? Because you need God's righteousness to get you to heaven. He's the only one that is righteous, and you gotta have that imputed righteousness. So when you stand before God, He lets you in heaven. Watch this. Here's me. I've got sin. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. Jesus is righteous. He has no sin. He's white as snow. When I took Him as my Savior, He imputed His righteousness to me. And now, even though I'm a sinner, I'm just like you. I'm no better than you. I'm just like you. But I've got God's imputed righteousness.
Amen.
And that's what God sees now. He don't see my, he sees the righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
And, come here, Eddie, real quickly. Let's pretend Eddie's Jesus. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior. He's righteous. See? What do you see? Do you see, who do you see? You see Eddie. Are you with me? You see Jesus.
Amen.
And that's how God, I hide behind Jesus. He imputes to me His whiteness, His righteousness. And God, that's why God lets me in heaven, because He sees imputed righteousness. Now notice number four also, the world is ignorant of the blindness of Israel. That's right. The world is blind to the, ignorant of the blindness of Israel, that the nation of Israel is going to be, blind about Christ until the fullness of Christ comes in. Look at Romans chapter, you're in Romans, right? Look at 11:25. Look at 11:25 of Romans. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant. Yeah, do a word study on this. God doesn't want people to be ignorant. But people are ignorant because they're willfully ignorant. Because they reject the word of God. God says in the last day He'll have them in delusions. For I would not, brethren, that you be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit. That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. What's the fullness? I think it's at the end of the rapture. Right now, see, John 1:11, Jesus came on His own and only received it not. Verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God, even them believing on His name. See, Christ came, but the Jews rejected Him. So now, D, He's opened up to all people, Jew and Gentile. And Scripture teaches, you take the Romans, He grafted us in. But Tommy, one day the Jews are going to come back after the rapture, during the trib, and even after that, the Jews are going to take Christ as their Messiah. In Romans, in Revelation 7:4, it talks about during the trib, 144,000 Jews are going to be saved during the trib. And by the way, those aren't Jehovah Witnesses. It says 12,000 from each 12 of the tribes. And 12 times 12 is 144,000. You know, we ought to be aware of that as Christians and love Israel. People ought to love the people of Israel, especially Christians. You say, well, man, preacher, if He's the Messiah, why didn't they receive Him themselves? Why didn't the Jews don't even receive Christ Himself? Because blindness has come. Because there's a spiritual blindness there that they can't see Him as their Messiah. A few will, but as a nation, as a majority, as a nation, they don't see Him as Savior, Messiah. But you will get a few Jews saved if you witness to them. Friday night we were out in that crazy rush of Christmas. And we went to Canton, Belden Village. I don't think they call it Belden Village no more, but that's where we were at. And we went there because I had a little $10 coupon I wanted to use up, some little store that moved. What was the name of that store? Can't think of it. Doesn't matter. And, but anyways, while we were there, we saw these You know, my family has psoriasis. My son-in-law and my grandbabies have got psoriasis real bad. And they suffer from it. And we're always trying to find something that can help them. Tippy's covered from top to bottom. Lately, David's been so bad that he can hardly stand it. And we saw these little kiosks or whatever down the aisles. And they said, oh, there's Dead Sea, Dead Sea. And so we stopped, and here were some people from Israel. Actually came from, they were born in Israel and came from Israel. And there was, and she was telling us about this. Of course, we had bought them before. But you go there, they're gonna go through the whole spiel with you every time, no matter if you buy it 1,000 times. But it really works. It helps our kids. And so this girl said she was 100% Jewish. I mean, you could just look at her and just tell. And she said, it's from Israel. And she said, I'm telling you, it's from the Dead Sea. She said, when I was a little girl growing up, my mama used to have us go down and get water from there, and she'd wipe it on us when we were sick. By the way, David Hill, Ruthie's husband, was healed going in that Dead Sea in our church. But I got talking to this lady, and I said, I praise God for Israel. She says, you want to get this because it's better for me. I said, lady, you don't have to sell me on Israel. I love Israel. I love the people of Israel. I love the God of Israel. I said, ma'am, I believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. And she said, are you Jewish? I said, I'm in Father Abraham, seed of Ham, spiritual seed.
Right. Amen.
And we got talking. She started, I bought a ton of it because we had to find it. And I talked to her. I said, she told me where she was born and all about Israel. And she couldn't believe how much I cared, how much I knew. She says, wow, I never met a guy that knew stuff like an American that knew about Israel like you. And I said, well, I love Israel and I love the people of Israel. And she said, wow. She's probably 25, 30 years old. And I said, by the way, does your parents, your grandparents talk about the third temple? She said, She said, they've been talking about that since I've been a kid. When don't they talk about it? By the way, there is going to be a third temple. And they're talking about it too. And I said to her after we kept going, and finally she said, who are you? I said, ma'am, I'm a Baptist preacher. And I said, the Messiah loves you. And the Messiah is coming soon. You need to get ready to see the Messiah. And we left and we went down. We started going. And Tammy, preacher's not one that goes to the stores. So I'm in the middle of this big mall. And they had a place for me to sit. Didn't have a coffee machine, but the other place, the other day, I was in Chapel Hill the other day. I found a coffee place, and I sat there for 2 hours and waited for Rosie and Tammy to get back. I love Christmas shopping. I get ice cream, hamburgers, coffee. It's a lot of fun. You'd be surprised by people I meet sitting there watching people go through. So anyways, I'm sitting there, and they're in, I think it's Dillard's or one of them. I said, I'll stay right here. I'll just sit right here, right in this, right, you come out of the store and I'll be here. Just, you guys do what you got to do and I'll be here and we'll go home together. Okay. Well, I got thinking, Brother Carey, about those, because there was like 3 or 4 of them. Because they had one on each end. I didn't know that. When she took us to the other end to get some more product, I seen there was 3 of them. Well, there was one man, there was a young boy, and some couple, 2 or 3 girls, all from Israel. So, but we left, and I got thinking, Should I go back there and witness to those people? Man, should I go back? God, I don't want to offend them. I've already witnessed once, but I couldn't get it out of my heart, Eddie. And I said, they were like four things down. If I'd have left and Rosie came out, she wouldn't know where it was because there was 1,000 people on the Friday night, two nights before, you know, I mean, thousands of people, literally. So I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And I couldn't, for about 15 minutes, I just said, Lord, 20 minutes, I said, Lord, I finally bowed my head. And I said, Lord, if you want me to witness to those people, I can't go to them. But God, I believe you're the big enough God. If you want me to speak to them, then you bring them in front of me. And I promise you, I will speak to them. And I don't think it was even 30 seconds after I prayed. I looked up, and here they come. Amen. And I stood up, seed of Abraham! Seed of Abraham! That'll stop people. I mean, Tammy and I'm never, you're better off to leave me anyways because no one wants to be with me in the mall because I tell people all kinds of stuff in the mall. The music is too loud. I'll tell them to shut the double music off. I mean, you don't want to be with me when I'm out in the malls. I don't want to be there. This kid, the one young man, probably 25 years old, he stopped right in the doorway of the Dillard's. I think it was Dillard's. I said, seed of Abraham! I did. I ain't kidding you. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I don't care if they think I'm nuts. Screwed onto the right bolt. There'll be a lot of people screaming for the Cleveland Browns today that's going to lose them. They stink. And that, you don't think they're nuts. And I'm talking about the eternal God in heaven, and you think I'm not for getting excited about him. And he stopped. He said, what did you say? I said, seed of Abraham. He said, what, sir? I said, are you an Israelite? Are you Jewish? He said, yes, sir, I am. Well, I knew he was because I saw him when I talked to one girl. And I just prayed God bring him. See, you don't pray that because you don't think God can do things. I just see him doing, so I believe he can do them. And I said, now the Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. The Hebrew word there for God is Elohim. Okay? And by the way, that's what means God. I'm not correct. I said, I believe in the Elohim of Israel, God of Israel. And the Lord God wants me to tell you. Because I could keep thinking about those kids, those young kids. I said, your Messiah. Your Messiah is going to come soon. Your Messiah, I believe, is going to come in your lifetime. And I said, the Lord God told me to tell you to search the Holy Scriptures and the prophets because Messiah is coming. He shook my hand. And I said, blessed be the God of Israel. You know, we're pretty blind. We make fun of Israel. I think Christians are pretty make blind because we don't realize what predicament they're in. Wouldn't hurt you to kind of love them and try to get them to the Messiah. That's who Christ is. Amen? Well, people are ignorant of his birth. The people are ignorant of his purpose of Christ. They're ignorant for the God. They need righteousness of God. They're ignorant for the blindness of Israel. And they're, by the way, I'm not going to finish. I can't, but I might run out of time. The world is ignorant that they need to repent. Look at this last scripture, and I'll close. By the way, I had lots more. Look at Acts 17. Look, I'll close with this verse. It's time for me to close. Someday I'm going to take all these and teach them as a study. There's like 14 of them. Wouldn't that be a great thing to have?
Amen.
I'll write it up and put it out on the paper, and you can take them. And look at Acts 17:30. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now, commandeth all men. So that's enough of your foolishness. It's enough of your evil. It's enough of you wanting darkness. Now's the time to take Christ. But now commandeth everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, that was born for you in the Bethlehem manger, Christ, whom he had given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. He's not dead. He's got an empty tomb. No other religion can say that about their founder. We're the only ones got a risen Savior, a live Savior. That's the distinction that for Christianity from all the religions. Our Savior's alive. When they heard, and I'm done, and when they heard of that resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Some of you are mocking me today. And others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. In other words, Paul, we ain't got time for you today. We don't have time for listening to you, Paul. We'll hear you again. I'm going to tell you something. God said, Jesus came for you. I hope you take him as your Savior. Because the reason he came was for you. Don't stay in ignorance of the world. I'm going to tell you, I wish I could have preached this whole message. There's so much more. They're ignorant of the rapture. They're ignorant of judgment. They're ignorant of the tribulation. There's so many things in the scripture talks about how they're ignorant. And the Christians are ignorant too, because you don't study the Bible. You're ignorant of the resurrections. They're different. There are different times and different places for different people. Someday I'll teach. I hope today, as we rejoice. How many are happy for Christmas?
Amen.
He came for you. If you've never asked Christ to come in here and be your Savior, why don't you make Christmas real this year? Get what Christmas is really all about. God's Son, Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. I thank you for the Christ that came. Oh, I know there'll be some, many, most laugh and mock and make fun of and have no time for Christ. But when they die, they'll cry out, would to God I'd have listened. No doubt some here will remember these words that this preacher preached to them. God will say, remember, he tried to tell you. You scoffed. Lord, I pray with all my heart, Holy Spirit of God, go up and down the aisles, convict men and women of their sin and of righteousness, and help them to know that they need Christ, and that Christ came just for them, that he loves them, that he came to be their Savior because he loves them. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I've asked Christ to save me. If I die, I know I'd go to heaven. Could you raise your hand? I know the Christ of Christmas. Thanking me, put him down. Would there be any today who would be honest with himself and honest with God and say, Pastor, I never really have taken the Christ of Christmas. And I'd sure like to get Christ today. Pray for me. Just raise that hand. Pray for me. Yes, I see that hand. Who else? Pray for me. I saw one lady's hand. Who else? Maybe I didn't see your hand. Pray for me. I've never asked Christ to save me, and I don't want to miss out on the Christ of Christmas. He loves you, whether you know it or not. He loves you. He really does. Heavenly Father, I pray for everyone here today. Oh God, help men to know that you love them. How it saddens my heart, how it must sadden yours even so much more. Help them to understand that Christ came, was born just for them. Just for them. That he died on the cross just for them. That he arose the third day just for them. That he's in heaven waiting for them to call on him. That he's soon to come back. And if they'll take him as Savior just for them. Help people to come out of ignorance. The scripture teaches that, the law teaches that even if a person does something, the law says you cannot use ignorance of the law to defend you. In the man's courthouse, man is guilty. He cannot claim ignorance of the law. And in God's courtroom, man cannot claim ignorance of the law. Matter of fact, the scripture says every mouth stopped and the whole world guilty. Help us not to be ignorant of those things that God would have us to know. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. If you'd like to come for any reason, you come right now.